You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
What did you steal?
Secrets. The data they paid me to protect.
Are they people?
No.
Good morning, Kansas City. Let's take a look at today. Today is
Do you understand what she's saying?
I hear her. It's gibberish. I can't understand it.
And I can.
What's happening to me?
People are starved for the truth.
I'm a part of it now. I'm just sorry they made you a part of it too.
Hello, Jane. Please. Have a seat.
This 79-year terror campaign of lies has to end.
What are you gonna do?
Full disclosure to the whole world.
That truth will upend all established order across the entire world. If you do this, there's no undoing it.
Why would they do this?
When the time is right, everything will become clear.
Whatever happens,
don't you let go.
And welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion and I am joined tonight by Jill and Quinny. And we are going to be discussing a film at full disclosure I have not seen.
Yay!
So this is your disclosure day.
This is my disclosure for this. I'm here to learn and I'd be part of it. Hello to the chat. Hello to everyone in the chat. With you, the chat today, to discover what is disclosure day, what is all that kind of fun stuff, and hear about it and decide whether or not to part with my hard-earned coins, currency, glow sticks. I don't know. What are aliens used to as currency? Rectal probes. isn't that how it goes?
Something. Let's go with that. Let's say you can pay using your glowing finger.
I said rectal probes.
Well, okay, fine.
Proctology.
Do you think that was what E.T. was going for?
Yes. He's
like, Elliot, bend over.
He can sense Elliot's sickness. It's cancer of the bum.
Oh, God.
Odd. Jesus Christ.
Hey, Jill, how you going?
Aren't you glad you're here, Jill?
Yes.
Yeah. We're like 1 minute into this chat and already talking about ass cancer.
Yeah, well.
Which tells you how we feel about the film.
I don't know.
Would you rather watch Disclosure Day again or have a colonoscopy?
Well, would you have a colonoscopy?
Really thinking quite hard about that.
could you, it's a colonoscopy given by Colin Firth.
A colonoscopy.
Get it?
Colonoscopy. And in this one, he's not Colin Firth, he's Colin Feckend.
Oh, fuck.
So bad you had to tell it to us.
Yeah, well, I did it once in text and once verbally because the podcast listeners didn't get to hear that
they
joke in the chat.
They had to suffer with it.
Yeah, they had to suffer like everybody else.
Great. And actually, we've got some people in the chat who have seen and have opinions. So this is great. I get to be.
Yes, yes.
I get to
I
be
got a message
in.
From Jess Angela the other night going, have you seen Disclosure Day? Because I have some thoughts.
Oh, boy.
Big feelings out there.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, so we saw this one last week. Thank you very much to the lovely people for the screening. But we do also have some opinions. So where are we at with our back catalogue of Steven Spielberg alien films?
Oh.
Do you mean having seen them, or what are your opinion?
Yeah, what's your favorite Steven Spielberg alien film?
How many are there?
Quite a lot.
I mean, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Okay.
Yep.
Artificial Intelligence is technically an alien film.
Did I watch that?
Technically, yes. Yes.
Technically, Hook is an alien film because they go into space.
I think you've taken that one a little bit far.
Twilight Zone, the movie?
Shawshank Redemption.
That's not about aliens, is it, though?
Are you sure?
Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh, that one definitely had aliens.
Yeah, that's very
War, War of the Worlds.
Oh,
very
yeah,
alien.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my personal favorite, Schindler's List. No, it's got nothing to do with aliens.
Rosebud was an alien.
I will stand on the fact that I think that he hasn't made an actually good movie since Catch Me If You Can. So I don't think Steven Spielberg's made a good movie since 2002,
wow.
And that's my honest opinion.
Okay, but you also haven't seen all of Steven Spielberg's films since?
I've seen a vast majority of them.
No, since 2002, we have had...
You roll them off and I'll tell you if I've seen them.
Okay, The Terminal?
It's fine.
Okay, War of the Worlds?
It's shit.
Munich?
Very weirdly coded these days.
Crystal Skull?
Terrible.
Terrible, yeah. Short film, we won't mention. The Adventures of Tintin?
Dull.
Mm-hmm. War Horse?
Didn't see War Horse. There you go.
And that was good. I liked War Horse.
Okay. Lincoln?
Boring.
Didn't watch it. Bridge of Spies?
Just bad. Just dull.
Right. Okay. BFG.
Don't need to see a giant. I had the Iron Giant. I don't need to see another giant.
Jill, where were you at on the BFG? Didn't watch it?
It's Roald Dahl attached. Do we still do that?
Always a tricky one. Ready Player One.
Come on. You're talking about dog shit.
Okay, sorry. Oh, and I missed The Post.
Again, not great. Not as good as it could have been.
Okay, West Side Story?
Did not like.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of it, to be brutally honest. The music video we won't worry about, The Fablemans.
I liked it.
I didn't see The Fablemans.
I liked it.
And that brings us around about to Disclosure Day. So many people would say that this is kind of him rounding out a bit of a trilogy, the Close Encounters, E.T., Disclosure Day, all alien kind of encounter movies, if you will. Okay, so anyway.
I won't.
No, you sure. won't? You're happy
no,
to leave that
I
one?
Won't.
Yeah.
All right.
Look.
You guys saw it, and I mean, you know, I'm still confused. I watched the trailers, I saw the press stuff for it, and I still don't really know what it's about. Would be really good if someone could give me a synopsis.
Okay, so there was a question. Can I do it in a cod British accent?
A cod?
Can we get evil English dude accent for the synopsis?
A cod accent?
Yes, yes.
Can you just say it in a series of clicks and whistles?
Okay. Only if they are British, clicks and whistles.
Only if it's British. Do you want some background music? Do we get that? Jill, do you have a, what sort of accent? You've seen the film. What sort of accent should Quinny do?
There weren't really any accents going on except for Firthies.
Furfos. I mean, like, this is one of the things too. Like, it's very difficult for me to look at the trailer for that film and go, isn't that Prince Charles? Why is he running away with Emily Blunt?
Now, thank you for the reminder as to where I know him from.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
No, you guys have to watch The Durrells.
I haven't watched The Durrells.
You watch The Durrells and The Crown. It's British.
Yeah. I've watched The Crown, but I haven't watched The Durrells.
Okay, Quinny, I'm going to ask. My request is, could you do it in your best hyperactive conspiracy theorist voice?
Okay. A little bit Charlie, what's his name? Charlie Day from...
I thought you were going to go Charlie Brooker.
Pointing to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what? Like, Disclosure Day follows, like, this cybersecurity whistleblower called Daniel Kellner, who's played by Josh O'Connor, who's like the prince, whatever. And a Kansas City TV weathercaster whose name is Margaret Fairchild. Remember that. Fairchild. She's a beautiful child who's played by Emily Blunt. And they're racing to broadcast classified evidence of extraterrestrial life. They are pursued by, they'll get this, Wardex Corporation, a secret military industrial government arm headed by Noah Scanlon, who's played by Colin Firth, while the world teeters on the brink of World War III. You don't believe me. I know you don't believe me. There you go.
Not bad.
So,
okay.
Couple of questions.
Yeah.
Based on that. Are you telling me they're trying to release evidence of aliens based around the fact that we might be in World War III and it's the military-industrial complex just trying to do a bit of a psyop?
No. I mean, well, the thing is, that's probably what would happen. But right. This is what Steven Spielberg thinks should happen.
Right. Because just checking on there and bouncing off you guys, we got the evidence of aliens existing released by the US government to cover up the Epstein files, right?
Yeah. A couple of years ago now.
Yeah.
And continuing, like every couple of days, we get a new batch of unredacted files that just drop onto Twitter or fucking whatever. And it's just like, okay, here's some more videos.
Yeah.
And we're now at the point where everybody's like, yep.
Yeah. I like that meme of like, geez, man, I got a lot going on. Great, you're here, fantastic. There's other shit to worry about at the moment.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So tell me,
yeah,
did you guys have fun?
Jill's eyebrows. Go on, Jill.
Fun. Fun.
You're not selling it here, Jill.
Okay. So I really wanted to see this movie. I thought from like the trailer that I saw, it looked quite interesting. I'm like, oh, I don't usually, and I have said this before, I don't usually like alien movies unless it's like a comedy kind of thing with an alien, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't like alien movies that are trying to be serious.
Right.
So I thought, this could go either way. I'll check it out.
Mm.
Only really saw one trailer a while ago, and then we were going to review it. Everyone's been talking about it. I'm like, great, let's go and see it. And they kind of had me hooked very, I would say like in a shallow way, because it's really giving a lot of blockbuster isms.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's got a lot of car chases. It's got, you know, on the run from secret government organizations. It's got subterfuge and secret cabals and all of this stuff.
And mysterious things that do stuff.
Yeah.
you know, like magical power shit.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, there's like unusual stuff happening. There's kind of a mystery that's unfolding and developing as we go through the film. And I'm like, okay, yeah, this is, yeah, I'm following. I'm on the ride.
I'm going along. I'm on the ride. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, this is okay. Then there was a moment where I was like, you know what? Nah, I'm out.
Yep.
You lost me. And
what moment was that, Jill?
Ooh, okay. So there was a moment early on where I kind of, I looked past it. And
right.
It was when he was hiding in an open field behind a couple
That's
of palings.
Where that lost me.
Behind a couple of palings. There must have been about 50 to 100 Secret Service agents and all of their vehicles. And he's behind them in a field behind a couple of paling fences.
With scant little, like, you know, pieces of
weeds, here
weeds
and, there.
And stuff.
But, and he's huffing and puffing and running along the grass and nobody spots him.
Because they're all looking that
the
way.
The other way.
Did anyone tell Stephen they have drones now and satellites that can track areas?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Find
and
people.
And what's more, at that moment, not only are they all looking the other way, but he then runs along quite loudly, runs amongst the cars, gets into one of the cars.
And doesn't drive it the opposite direction, but in fact, further into more parked vehicles.
And then, like, you know, gets run into by other cars gently enough that it doesn't fuck the car and nobody shoots him. He goes and manages to drive into the farmhouse where, sorry, this is spoiler shit, but this is really fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, and it drives literally through the wall of the farmhouse while there are still hundreds of Secret Service agents with guns running towards the farmhouse and nobody shoots him. Nobody does anything that is even remotely aggressive.
They were shooting at him, but nobody was aiming.
So what you're telling me is a whole bunch of stormtroopers were in a field.
Yep.
And he was wearing plot armor.
Oh, my God.
Let me tell you about the plot armor in this film. Because everybody's wearing it.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yes.
Everybody's wearing it.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So, wait. Go on. Hey, no, quick question, though. Based on that, knowing that Steven Spielberg famously went back and changed E.T. to remove the guns from the FBI agents to turn them into walkie-talkies, I only have one question about the film. Does anyone die? Does anyone die on screen?
No.
Yeah, so zero blood, zero death is what I'm
zero
asking.
Zero blood.
And maybe was there a stabbing?
No.
An attempted stabbing at one point.
Yeah. Okay, nobody. Sorry, Jill. Carry on. Plot armor.
Oh, fuck. The plot armor was like fucking, you know, what's that film? Pacific Rim. The plot armor was that big.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Examples, Jill?
I guess like these MacGuffin devices that can basically do whatever they need to do to get you out of a scene.
Yeah.
That are never explained as to what they are or where they came from, but they just mysteriously have three of these things.
Yeah.
And if you get your hands on one, you can basically do whatever you want with it, whether that is like inhabit someone else's body so you can telepathically control them or make an entire building and about 50 people invisible.
Or if you squeeze it wrong, you may just disappear.
Yeah, like depending on who picks it up, you might die.
Yeah.
Also, if you blow up a power source, you can turn it back on by just squeezing it another way. Like,
yep.
I mean,
yep.
Fun.
As Brent says, they literally just call it the device because, you know, they could have called it the MacGuffin.
Yeah.
They could have just called it the plot device.
Uh-huh.
What do you need in this scene to transition to the next scene? Squeeze.
Yes. And at one point, a character that had been basically removed from the film because she no longer had anything particularly interesting to add to it, walks back in through an entire phalanx of fucking armed men to be able to give somebody the plot device that fixes the end of the film. I was just like, the fuck?
I mean, hey, this sounds like a whole bunch of stuff we could say for the spoiler section, but sure. Like, let's try and focus on some of the good things about it. Like, what was enjoyable about it? Did it have good sets? Was everything in focus? Did you enjoy the music?
It was surprisingly bland in its color palette and look.
Yeah, look, Emily Blunt is good. She's a great actress, and she was delivering a good performance.
I never had a problem with her at all.
No, I kind of liked her character. Like, her boyfriend that was played by Wyatt
Russell.
Yeah, Wyatt Russell. He was a funny character, but you kind of only get him for like the first 30 minutes, and then he's gone.
Yeah, he shows up briefly at one point, you know, in a repeat scene. And you're like, oh, you're still in this film, right?
I forgot about you.
Yeah.
Like the action sequences were good. There was a great car chase and a train jumping onto a train that's hurtling. That kind of stuff was fun. And that's, I think, what's going to appeal to, like, the people that have no taste.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't include myself in those people because I do love an action sequence, but like when it's gonna serve a purpose, sure. But
yeah, it sounds like this one is being portrayed as best I can sort of get it with the sort of low marketing that I've seen. Just like, oh, it's Steven Spielberg back again doing Alien. It's a great thing. Like, it's a Spielberg film. Come and go this blockbuster.
That's what's going to get people in to see this movie. And that's what a lot of people that I heard walking out of the film were saying, that was great.
Yeah.
And I would have challenged any one of them to actually tell me what was great about the movie. Because it was really questionable hearing like so many voices around me going, oh, that was amazing. That was great. And I'm like, did you just watch the same film I did? Because I got nothing out of it.
Yeah. It's trying to say some deep and meaningful things, but it does it so fucking ham-fistedly that,
it's trying to deliver a message and then literally does not.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it
like does not.
It stops.
It stops right before they're going to tell you what the message is.
And the thing you were saying before, Dee, about the whole, World War III military-industrial complex sort of thing, it's funny because, like, in this one, the military-industrial complex is doing everything they can to make sure that we don't distract from what's going on. But in this film, essentially the kickoff of World War III is not even a B-plot. It's like a C or D plot that's happening so far in the background that you forget. Like, there's a scene where they go into a roadside, convenience store, and people are panic buying shit. And I honestly went, what are they panic buying shit for?
Yeah, like they haven't told anybody about the aliens yet. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, what the fuck is it? And then you're like, righto.
Like, for a little while there, I've always been a bit frustrated by some of these, ever since, I would say, Saving Private Ryan, I get frustrated by Spielberg's way that he doesn't show stuff sometimes. And one of the biggest annoyances I had with War of the Worlds is you quite literally have a bit where they're like, the aliens and the army are like heading towards each other for a giant fight. And it's over the crest of a hill, and the son of Tom Cruise runs up to look at it. And when he goes up to the top, you never see it. You never see what the fuck is happening. Like, that's kind of your set piece. You know, you want to get up there and watch this absolute chaos thing, which would give you this thing of like, oh no, this is terrible. We have to get away. But no, we never see that, you know?
No.
And I'm
like, the film is called Disclosure Day and they don't. You know,
they don't in the end. They don't disclose.
Well, I mean, it's the last 20 minutes of the film where it's kind of like the disclosure is happening, but then they're like, so listen, and then the movie stops.
Oh my god, we're already into spoilers. Like, Jesus. Okay, fuck. All right. Well, I'm just gonna chuck it up. I gotta chuck the spoiler logo out. Fuck it.
Yeah, look.
Okay, we're gone.
Yeah. And as he says, if you look at it at the surface level and no deeper, you may enjoy this. Like, it's got a pacey, action-y kind of vibe where it's, you know, people are chasing around, you know, there's lots of cars, there's lots of getting in and out of scrapes. Like, but there's just, it's so fucking dumb the way that they get out of some of those scrapes.
Because, like, here's the thing. He's got all of these hard drives full of this information about aliens, like reels and reels of footage and documents and all this kind of stuff about aliens.
Which we see quite early.
At no point did anybody say, put it on the internet.
Yeah.
It's like, we have to go to the news station and broadcast it.
And this is,
that's the only way we're going to be believed.
I've heard a few people referring to this, like, and by the way, this has not been popular. Like, we are not in the wilderness with our dislike of this film. A lot of people are like, yeah, no, this is not good. But I've seen this referred to as boomer storytelling. And I was like, fuck, that's exactly what it is.
Because honestly, it's like it was written before the internet.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, how do we get all this information out? Oh, I don't fucking know. YouTube, dickhead.
Would that be because all of the creatives behind this are over retirement age?
You mean geriatric?
David Koepp's not that old, is he?
He's 63.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah.
Sorry. I mean, he wrote the thing. And if he can't figure out that the kids use their smartphones to do shit these days.
Oh, no. The smartphones are still very important. The smartphones are what's... We're in spoiler territory, aren't we?
I put the sign up.
Okay. The smartphones are what's stopping World War III from kicking off because everybody's so busy watching on their smartphone this news broadcast.
Right.
I'm like, what?
Okay. I apologize. Predicanger points out that at one point somebody does say to put it on the internet, and then the leader guy says, no, that's the one thing you can't do.
Oh, and Coleman Domingo, that guy.
Oh, Coleman, all right. It's just like, okay, but that's only because you said so.
Yeah.
He says, you can't put it on the internet. Why?
Why?
Plot. I don't know.
Why?
Because I'm spending all of this time building a perfect 1997 recreation of this girl's house.
What?
Yes!
Why?
Okay. Every time you see Coleman Domingo in this film, we're on a phone call with him.
Love that
in
man.
In the background, he looks like he's on a soundstage. They're building a set. Something's happening all around him. There's people working. There's people building things. It's like it's a home set. This just keeps going on and on and on for about, I want to say, the first hour and a half of the film.
Must be a pretty good set by the end.
Finally, we finally find out what the fuck it is. And it's a on-point recreation of Margaret Fairchild's childhood home, down to every fucking detail. How do they know?
Fuck only knows.
What it looked like.
Yeah. How do they know what toys she had? What specific posters?
Or the photos that were in the home, like any of this. And this is all to jog her memory so she can remember when she was abducted by aliens.
Yeah.
That's why she's in the film.
Mm-hmm. So my take on this, and this is, you know, something that occurred to me, I don't know, maybe most, I don't know, three quarters of the way through the film. I was watching it, and this is speaking of boomer bullshit, this film is just a remake of Escape from Witch Mountain. which is a 1975 Disney film about two kids who are trying to run away from scary government people to get back to Witch Mountain. And it turns out the two kids have magical powers because, widdly widdly, they are aliens. And I'm like, this film is just fucking Escape from Witch Mountain. There are five, six different Escape from Witch Mountain films, one of which has The Rock. And all of them are far more entertaining than this. Yeah. They're just like, it's just a couple of kids who just in this case happen to be adults, but it still happened when they were kids.
Yeah.
And yeah, aliens, like the thing
touched,
is
touched by an alien.
Yeah. The thing is, the alien shit is so clearly up front that there is no shock about that at all.
Mm.
Like,
yeah,
you know, within the first 15 minutes of the film, they've shown somebody footage of aliens, and you know, you're like, okay, well, right, so that's true.
Question, sorry, interjection. Mm. What are the aliens? Which ones did they pick? Did they go with the almond-eyed Greys? Oh, they went with
the
ones
that look like the Asgard from
the Greys.
They're Greys.
Yeah. You get your lingo up there, Jill. Come on, they're Greys. No reptilians. Reptilians. Yeah.
They are Greys. They're not the reptilians. They are the
classic little skinny boys with the big eyes.
Yeah. From the Close Encounters.
Yeah. Well, yes, and like the danger with this is it's always going to have some kind of comparison to his other alien films, so you can't help but go, okay, how does this stack up in comparison to Close Encounters? Nowhere fucking near. Like, Close Encounters is an interesting film that is, you know, watching a person come unraveled because their world is being undermined by, you know, interaction with an alien. And then you get a fucking payoff. Like, he gets to the big thing and there's an alien spaceship and it all feels worthwhile. In this, no, none of that. You get a
none
fucking... No, you get a weird chase sequence that just goes on and stupid escapes. I got really angry fairly quickly at how fucking stupid the escapes were.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we can't catch them just yet. We've still got like another 50 minutes to go. Let them go.
Okay. There is a car chase where, you know... Prince Charles is driving this car with his nun girlfriend. And
he's got a nun girlfriend? Where?
I got to get to the religious subplot of this after you tell finish the story, Quinny, okay. And then I got to get to my next pet peeve.
Yeah, so they're being chased. The hundreds of you know, very competent, you know, agents are chasing them. We've just seen they have hundreds of cars, right? Somehow they whittle it down so there's only two cars left chasing them.
Oh my god, yes. Yep.
I love Julie. They managed to shocked face as she's remembering, going, oh god, right.
Yeah. Yep. They then somehow, like the it's a pretty fucking tight chase. Somehow they managed to get enough distance between them and the pursuit cars. I don't know how. To suddenly come to the edge where they're about to drive off a cliff into a quarry, and then they go, oh shit, oh no, we almost drove off a cliff, shit, okay, well let's get out of the car and then run behind these bushes over here.
Yeah, but before you do, I'm just going to put a rock on the accelerator so that the car goes over the cliff, and then the guys are going to come up and think that we drove off the cliff, and then they'll leave.
The old switcheroo.
Yeah, and then they go and hide behind the bushes that are about, I don't know, 5 feet away from where the car went over.
Yeah.
And, of course, the agents show up seconds later, like, and clearly would have been able to see them do this fucking thing and hide in the bushes. And then they're like, oh, no, I guess they went over the cliff. Do they I guess go- we'd better give up now.
Not going to double check. Let's go home.
Wait, they're agents... They wouldn't they call it in and be like, oh, they've gone off the cliff. Hey, quick, everyone, we need to recover all the stuff that they had in their, like, the evidence and stuff. Shouldn't it become a crime scene? Everyone's going to, like, call everyone in. I saw them. They drove over this cliff. We need divers and all that. Does that happen?
No.
Of course not. Why would you do that?
Anyway, they do track them to a motel later and chase them yet again. And the girl manages to get away by hiding behind a tree.
Mm. So they come to the front door of the, of the hotel room.
Nobody covers the back.
They don't surround it or anything. They just come to the front door.
Didn't you say they were good
go out
agents?
Through the window?
Yeah.
Didn't you just say that they were good at like all these agents and cars, and they're good at what they do, and they're part of the military
industrial
complex?
They just have numbers. They have numbers, no intelligence.
Right. Yeah, sorry, I love that. Predicator. Hey, boss, could you just astral project to check if the nun's dead? No, I won't do that.
I don't know what that means.
You're getting angry at people randomly.
Oh, the MacGuffin. You can astral project with the MacGuffin.
Yeah, good. Yeah. But who's the nun? You've missed.
Okay, so Joshua Connor has a girlfriend that he is helping him at the beginning.
But she's a nun?
They hide out in a nunnery.
Oh, right. So she's not a nun. She's not a real nun.
No, she is a nun. She was a nun.
Yeah, she was a nun.
She was a nun, but now she's... Yeah. Okay, all right, fine, whatever.
The reason that she was a nun, very important, though.
And she loves God.
Well, yes, but you need to have at least 2 to 3 conversations about will the revelation of aliens completely undermine the entire religious belief system of the world?
Yeah, so she's kind of like the moral compass for him. She's like, oh, you can't give this information to everybody because they'll stop believing in God.
Until the sister calls later.
Yeah, and she has a phone call with one of the sisters and she's like, what if you knew that aliens existed? Would that stop you having faith? And she's like, but my child, God created the universe, so therefore he must have made the aliens.
Yeah, yeah. And humans are the prime beings on Earth.
Yeah. But, so she's like, hint, get it?
Yeah, so God's working on other planets too. So aliens are fine as far as our religion goes. Like, so, humanity, solved that problem. You're never going to see me again.
Humanity is just launching itself towards Warhammer 40K universe, isn't it? In the future, we'll discover aliens and we'll decide that due to our religion, they need to be purged. And that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to laugh at Idiocracy. It's literally happening right now.
Yep.
You're talking about
every day. Between the religious context, our two main characters being like the chosen Aryan children of the alien information, and Coleman Domingo being our token magical Negro, this movie had it all.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
And we're referring to the trope of the magical Negro, not calling him a magical Negro, in case anyone wasn't sure.
Yeah, yeah. Please don't cancel me.
The mystic ideology is like, if you listen to me, I'll sort you through this, no problem.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Jesus.
If he had The Shining, have
linked. Should we go and do a clip and then come back with more of this stuff?
Yeah, please. Let's hear Steven Spielberg wank on about his movie.
Disclosure Day threatens letting the truth loose on the world.
What did you steal?
The data they paid me to protect.
There has been a threat to release government material long shrouded in secrecy.
Are they people?
No. Daniel has this amazing mathematical brain, and he's using it to understand them.
Do you understand what she's saying?
It's gibberish. I can't understand it.
I can't.
And Margaret is suddenly imbued with these abilities she's never had before. She can speak other languages fluently.
Since when do you speak Korean?
What? Speak Korean? What?
She can read people by looking in their eyes.
Who are those guys?
They're with the FBI.
They're not FBI.
I wanted to make sure they were real people based on reports about abduction and lost time.
I can see them. They're coming into the room.
The only way for you to know your purpose is to go back to where it all began. It's the two of you. It's always been just the two of you.
What they know could change everything. Religion, governments, all the things that we've set up to create our culture and our world.
Whatever happens, don't you let go.
Daniel and Margaret are going to release the truth of the entire history of the UFO-UAP phenomenon.
Whoa.
And nothing will ever be the same from that moment forward.
3, 2, 1.
This is Disclosure Day.
Oh, that was just wonderful. I got to see all the little proctology fingers in a circle. Like, there's like, oh, we all touched.
Oh, no. The circle was just all of the devices.
No, they're like, proctology fingers. Devices. They're proctology fingers.
Oh, okay. So I suppose now that we've seen a clip, we're kind of in like fully spoiler territory. I know we haven't done a rating yet, but
I'm not sure. I don't have I have no dog in this fight. It's a rating between you guys.
Do you want to rate it first, or do you want to rag on it a bit more?
I think we can leave our ratings right until the end on this one.
Wonderful. Okay, here's my next point. All of the footage that they show in the broadcast when they finally... Oh, okay, hang on. Before we get to that.
Yeah.
The thing that almost made me walk out of the film and leave you there, Quinny, was when the bad guys finally chased them to the news center.
Yep.
They blow out all the power, but they use their one last magic stick to bring the power back on and drop their news report. But before all of this happens, our main Terminator bad guy that's been chasing them the whole time says to Colin Firth, "You have to stop them. You've got to stop them." And then he just pulls up a chair and sits down and is like, "Nah, I'm tired."
And then the other guy.
And then our Terminator agent's like, "Okay.
Fucking him out."
And leaves. And I'm like, cool. So then we drop all of our information. And we see the original Roswell alien crash of 1947.
Yep.
Then we see another fucking alien crash. Then we see another alien crash. And then we see... And I'm like, guys, why are the aliens so intelligent but they keep crashing on Earth?
Yeah, that's the big question at the end of all of this. If these alien species are so fucking smart and clever and everything, why can't they drive for shit? What the fuck?
Why?
We all know
how do they keep getting captured and experimented on and crashing on this fucking planet?
We all know that aliens can't drive.
Yeah, well, I've watched Space Invaders. That is definitely a film where the aliens can't drive. So, Kari, of course, it's global news. So originally it's going to be a Kansas station, but then somebody convinces somebody to bump it up to CNN.
They pick up the phone and they call New York and they're like, "You've got to put this on. You've got to look at our channel." And they're like, "Why would we look at your channel?"
In the middle of World War III, while literally troops are massing on various different borders and that's about to kick off, they're like, "I think you'd better change to K-Sexy from fucking Arkansas or whatever the fuck it was.
Kansas."
And
not the internet.
Yeah. No. We can't have the internet.
I mean,
none of that.
You know, not TikTok. You couldn't put it on TikTok. No one watches TikTok.
Oh, and by the way, all of this video footage has been verified as not AI because they said so.
Yeah.
We used AI checkers. It's all real.
Yeah. And I just ran it through my little program. It's not AI, guys.
This is real. And that, you know, is... Yeah.
By making the statement of claim that this is real immediately verifies things. This is real.
Like, I'll give props to the lady who was doing the newsreader. She was very believable.
But also, why do we go on this whole journey with Margaret and not have her be the one doing this whole thing?
Yeah, because she needed to...
just kind of got taken over by another newscaster.
Yeah, because she needed to have other scenes with Coleman and the other guy.
Yeah. Do we drop the big one?
I don't know. What do you reckon, chat? Do you want to hear the, like,
do
the
real...
Do you
want to hear the big one?
I mean, I don't know. Unless we find out that the aliens are actually like people that we've seen before, like unless they like the president pulls off his skin suit and he's a reptoid underneath.
That would have been much more entertaining.
Oh, right. They didn't even do that. Oh, fucking lame. Wait, okay. Let me tell you, did they do something off screen again? Thanks, Spielberg.
No. Okay. So the big one. Tune out if you don't want to hear the big one.
Yeah, have a mukbang going, put your things in your ears, take your earphones out for the next, I don't know, couple of minutes.
So with a 2-hour and 25-minute runtime, at hour 2 and 15 minutes, they wheel out a fucking alien.
Yep.
Do they wheel one out like
all of this.
Like a dead one? Or like you
no,
said wheel
a
out.
Humidity crib with a live one in there. They wheel out this little humidity crib and out comes an alien that's twice the size of all of the ones that we saw
like
in the videos.
Like 8 foot tall.
Like huge. And I'm
giant
like,
head.
Why did we go through all of this if you just had one of these guys?
Where did it come from?
Out of Colin Domingo's fucking ass. He'd been like shoved in it the whole movie.
Yeah, there was definitely a moment where they brought a truck in. And it's there's a truck.
Oh, hey, here comes my truck that I've been sitting on for the past two or bit minutes. Come on in.
Yeah.
So yeah. Coleman Domingo at any time could have just broadcast that there was an actual alien that was there.
Yes. He's
just,
alive.
At any time.
Yes.
But decided to wait for this other person that nobody knows.
And then the alien talks to Josh O'Connor, and then Josh O'Connor translates it to Margaret, even though she can speak all of the fucking languages.
Yeah.
And then she goes back to the camera and says, listen.
Listen.
And then the movie stops. And you don't get to find out why we should have cared.
What the fuck?
Exactly. Yep.
Did you just stand up immediately and go, I want my money back?
I didn't pay.
We didn't pay for it.
I want $27.50 for wasting my time. Did you watch Disclosure Day and didn't like the ending? You may be entitled to compensation.
You should call Quasar.
That's fucked.
Yes.
That's absolutely just bullshit fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's so many other sequences in there where it's just like plot armor or fucking, you know, like Deus Ex Machina every which way. How do we get out of this apparently completely impregnable airbase with highly trained fucking airmen and FBI agents? I'm going to look at them and tell them something that I know about them, and they'll think that I'm someone else.
This feels like Spielberg's just gone the wrong kind of way and is doing like a Joe Rogan podcaster thing of like, I'm just asking questions. Like, you know, I don't actually have any information to give you or even show and do stuff. I'm just going to be like, well, you know, what happens if we do this? What happens if we have like, you know, aliens and not God? What does that mean? You know, how should we treat each other? It's like, fuck. I don't know, dude.
This had come out in 1995, you know, somewhere in that sort of X-Files kind of thing. I would have been like, oh, yeah, this is cool. This is exciting, you know, but it didn't. It came out in 2026.
Yeah.
Aliens and their, you know, like White House approved fucking release is used as a distraction tactic. Like nobody cares anymore because it's not going to change out the way that we view the world. It's not going to make us all suddenly come together and think maybe we should just be nice to one another.
No.
You know, having one person who can understand and use the superpower that is empathy is sadly not going to get us.
Empathy is a superpower?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, and that's her superpower in the film.
Oh,
and Coleman Domingo says that, you know, the aliens, that is what they
the aliens imbued her with empathy, and the other guy got math.
Yeah. I mean,
both threw a finger up the jacksie.
It's been almost 50 years since Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which is still a great movie about aliens. And you also don't get a huge payoff because it's just a bunch of people walking into a ship in the light and you don't really get to see them.
And it makes sense. Like, yeah. and it does give you the payoff that the character who's not fit in through the whole fucking film, who has ruined his life, goes, I'm going to go with them. You know? Like, right. At the very least, it has an emotional fucking payoff of he gets answers. We don't get any of that shit here. We get bad CGI alien that's suddenly fucking 7 feet tall going, and that's it.
Yep.
Thanks.
Cool. I mean, amazing. And no one dies. And no one fucking dies.
I could imagine.
And nobody died.
No.
Oh. And yeah. I love that the person that was hunting them down for the whole movie, Colin Firth's character or whatever it is. So you're telling me he just gives up?
100%.
He just sits down and goes, fuck it, just do whatever.
He pulls up a chair and just is like,
fuck it, off you go.
Yeah. You're going to do it anyway, so I may as well just fucking give up.
Wait, this one, is he British or American?
He's British.
He's British. Okay, that's fine.
And the other two British ones are Americans.
Yeah.
Fuck. Well, that sounds absolutely shithouse, and I'm glad that I didn't watch any of it. And I don't think I'll be watching it anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to ride out my Masters of the Universe high that I'm still going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went back and rewatched fucking Masters of the Universe to wash my mouth out.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Quinny, you watch movies with your eyes.
Not that one.
Oh, that one you're licking.
Like, give me that giant sword dangling between his legs.
Some complaints about He-Man was it wasn't camp enough. Are you kidding me?
Hey, hang on.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
we need to rate this movie now, Quinny.
Yeah, oh, fucking hell. if you have seen it, which some of you in the chat look like
please
you have.
Please give us your numbers.
drop some numbers in there. Give us one with a little word of 100 just so I know it. Yes, to anyone who is uncertain whether to go and watch this in the cinema, do not go and watch Masters of the Universe again or for the first time before they fucking move it straight across to streaming. Which it is happening very quickly, by the way. Oh, ratings, fuck.
I don't know, because I got a lot of reaction out of this movie. I'm
rating it, I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Based on this explanation of it, and I'm like, this sounds terrible.
I mean, I am mad about it, but at the same time, it's so entertainingly bad. I don't know what number to give it.
Is it worth a hate watch?
I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it in retrospect.
Should I drunk like, cinema it?
Wow, I really hated all of that, but I just don't know. Like, I'm like, wow, why the fuck would you do something like that? And wow, what the fuck is that about? Like, I don't know. I find all of these weird choices so fucking entertaining at how bad they are.
I mean, the only one so far in here, the highest one was Predator Kangaroo at 65.
Yeah,
like that's it. That seems somewhat enjoyable, but it's
and then it just goes down from there. Yeah. Oh dear,
a minus 10. Great, okay. I'm loving all this. This is fantastic.
So Elskinoga, are you going 48 or is it 58? Because
yeah, Jesus,
yeah.
I'll watch it. Yeah,
look, drunk watch it out. For sure.
But no, I wouldn't. I'd get pissed off and I'd leave early if I was drunk.
Yeah. Like, something else that I thought was shit was also the bad CGI animals.
Oh my God, the animals. I forgot about the animals. Okay, Dion, so there's visions of aliens that appear to Emily Blunt's character in the form of, like, a stag and a fox so that they're not scary.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
And they're the most dead-behind-the-eyes-looking animals you've ever seen.
Which, I mean, somebody did go, oh, that's because they were aliens and they were meant to look badly animated, and I'm like, fuck off.
Really?
And, yeah, the shit starling animation that was just like,
the cardinal.
Cardinal, sorry, yeah.
Because what we want is Uncanny Valley, because that's something that we love in film, right?
Mm.
Oh,
is that
God.
Bit where you're like, I don't like watching this because it isn't real.
It was so funny when that cardinal first appeared and it flew into the apartment onto the table and then there's just a wind machine on her. Did you notice that?
I did. I forgot that bit. Yeah, is the cardinal blowing her hair?
There's no other wind. There's no breeze. Like, Wyatt's hair is flat. Like,
yeah, little known fact, cardinals can whistle with the force of the
wind machine on her hair.
Wind machine.
Her hair is going.
Jesus.
Oh,
yeah.
This sounds like just an absolute riot.
Yeah. It's hilariously bad. So I'm really torn. I don't know what number to give it because I found it so defiantly entertaining, even though it is terrible. I'm just going to have to go right down the middle and just say 50, I think.
50? Okay. Yeah. You are kinder to it than I. Because
I'm so intrigued at the choices that they made that it's kind of like hard not to look away.
I'm actually really happy that Pete's on her little sabbatical, which isn't a sabbatical, it's working. Pete's real busy. That's why she's not here. But it's also that thing because I feel like the but wise may have given her an aneurysm.
Oh, God.
Oh,
100%. Yeah.
The film is but why.
Yeah. So much but why.
Be like that superhero out of the boys, it needs to lobotomize himself in order to watch it. Because if you go in with a brain, then you're just going to cry.
Yep. For me, I'm going to go a little lower. I'm somewhere around that sort of below 50 mark because, it's really hard because it's not badly made. There are a couple of oneers that are very impressive single shot, like, moments where the camera is just doing crazy shit. But
I mean, it's still Spielberg. Like, there's some nice stuff to look at in there.
Yeah, but also there's so many fucking lens flares all over the place. Like, I honestly thought that J.J. Abrams had shown up on set just to kind of mock himself with the amount of lens flare and everything. And it was really stale color-wise. It felt really bland and, like, you know, even the big action sequences, I was like, yeah, okay. I've seen much better shot action car chases and shit like that. Like, it feels just really pedestrian. I'm going down to 45.
Okay.
I would love to hear what Peter thinks about it, but there were so many people there and there are so many people online who are like, oh, it's Spielberg.
Absolute. But what does that mean? That doesn't mean shit.
Doesn't mean anything.
Because his name now carries fucking weight.
Absolutely.
Not the quality of his films.
Yeah, right.
Just his fucking name.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I find strange. Like, I'm not against Steven Spielberg as a director. He has made classics. There's a reason why his name does carry weight. But, I mean, it's hard to do, but when you're watching a film that doesn't understand why it's even put together, or it's just it's more of the vibe. Like, the only reason this I feel like this got made is because Steven Spielberg said, I want to make a movie, and everyone's like, sure, Steven, here's millions of dollars, what are you making it about? Aliens. Okay, great, Steven, thanks.
Oh, we love it when you make alien movies, Steven, because they really go well.
That's going to be cool.
And this one's going to be like the final thing where we just, like, because it's clear he really believes in this whole alien thing. Like, you know, he's down the rabbit hole on that. And I'm like, cool, then make a documentary about all of the shit that's being released now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, make one and then actually tell us what you think they want to say instead of going, I don't know what they want to tell us.
Yeah, instead of copping out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's the mystery. And, I mean, he's going to be gone soon. Not intending, like, not saying it, there he is.
Wow, DM got a hit out on.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Good news is, though, I'm sending all the guys, the creeps from the movie, to chase Spielberg down. So he's good for another.
He's going to be surviving till he's 100.
He's got another 30 years of just hiding behind a bush.
Yeah.
But we saw a trailer before this film. And do you know the next fucking director that's just gonna have a wank fest for a really mediocre film in the next month?
Is this Christopher Nolan?
Is this Supergirl?
Oh. Nolan's The Odyssey. I'm like, wow, that's gonna be a hot piece of shit.
Do you think it's gonna be hot garbage?
Oh,
did you watch the trailer?
I'm like, I enjoy Nolan films. Like, I really like a bunch of his movies. Still haven't seen Tenet. But
I tried to watch that in the middle of the COVID lockdown and I was just like, oh no, this is too much. I cannot do this.
Like, I think I really enjoyed Inception and I would love to be able to erase my memory to watch that fresh, like, every time. I thought it was great. But the way they have thrown every $20 million minimum actor in this film, everyone with fucking American accents, doing a goddamn film about the Odyssey. I'm like, this is going to be a stinker. This is going to be so bad.
You heard it here first.
Jill's on the line with that one.
I mean, it was bad enough that nobody in Troy was gay. Like, this is going to just be the next nail in the coffin for a homosexual Greece. We're not going to get any of it.
No. This is all going to be very deeply homoerotic, but not homo representation.
Just remember, you know, they were just very good friends on long voyages for decades.
And the thing with Nolan is, you know, it's going to be just really fucking loud. Like, yeah, exactly.
Bwah.
and
yeah, and you know the Cyclops will show up and it'll be like, like okay, and then one of the gods will show up and be like, you're like, oh great,
you will find the brown note in this film.
Predakanga says, wait, no gays? Then what's up with Tom Holland at RPATS?
I know though.
Mm-hmm.
I know though.
Look, I hold some hope that it may be an interesting, you know, adaptation of the Odyssey, but at the same time, like, I don't know.
Not with the amount of fucking American accents that I heard in that trailer.
That's a choice. I think what I would have really liked is if Nolan had said, fuck it, I'm making Ulysses 31. Then I would have been into that.
No, Quinny, it sounds like you have the wrong kind of obsession about that film.
Oh, segue.
Bow, bow, bow. Sorry, blah, blah, blah.
The Nolan version of the rave gun. Blah, blah, blah.
And then a tiny violin-like sound. All right, yes. What are we doing next week? What's on the dance card?
Obsessively going to be talking some horror.
Horror.
Yeah, it's a twofer.
We ended up doing a twofer. It's you've got to go into the back rooms of our studio
obsession
to find the obsession that we all look for. Oh, fuck, I don't know. We're
going to show you my favorite obsession.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if I opened up a door and there was a Rocky Horror Picture Show playing, I'd be like, sweet.
Yeah.
So we do, two smaller.
See, I've been stalking a man.
Independent and apparently good films, Obsession and Backrooms next week. Yes.
Yes.
I know. And it's been out for a little while.
I'm actually excited for Backrooms. I'm keen to check that out because I really like the Backrooms shorts on the internet. I think they are. That's the kind of shit that I dig. Liminal space, horror. Yeah, give me that shit.
Yeah. It's kind of like a companion piece to what is it? The Apple TV show.
Oh,
how did my brain go?
Oh fuck, shit.
Oh no, it's contagious.
The Adam Scott one.
Severance. That's the one.
Holy shit, how old are we getting?
You know, Jill, based on this conversation that we've had, we should make an alien film.
Yes, no one can tell us no.
And then they go here, and then they do this, and then this goes over here.
You know what?
Yeah.
This film was a fucking prime example of and then filmmaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And then? Yeah. And then?
I couldn't tell you a single because. It was just they go here. And by the way, apparently, if you are familiar with like US fucking geography, there is no physical way to work out how one of the characters gets from where they're going to where they're going if they drive supposedly the direction that they keep saying that they're going. They're like, oh, we're driving east towards Missouri. And I'm like, that is physically impossible to do. So all these people who know the flyover states are like, what?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I gave up on Hollywood in that kind of blockbuster way after watching that Transformers movie where they just opened a door and it transported from fucking the Aerospace Museum to Egypt with no explanation. We'll run out of this door and they just end up in Egypt. And I was like, what? How? Mm-hmm. How? Yeah. Why?
Just because we need to. Explosion.
Yeah,
shut
up. We need
model in short shorts.
Oh, dear.
Ask us to know if we've seen the Supergirl drink cup with the foreskin.
Oh, my fucking God.
It's a jacket, people. It's a jacket.
Oh, it's a jacket. Oh, my mistake.
It's meant to be her jacket. It's clearly a foreskin.
Are you sure?
But why did it come out flesh-toned? Which is actually kind of funny because if you think about it, you should have reversed it. So it should have been a blue jacket and a flesh tone. No, that would have been better. Worse. Ooh, that would have been much worse.
What a choice, though. Just don't put the jacket on there, guys.
Yeah.
Why didn't they release
cup?
Fucking
the cup doesn't have arms, brother. Like, don't put a jacket on it.
Yeah.
Why didn't they just release the dog? So you could have drunk Crypto. Out of you could have drunk out of Crypto's tail and put popcorn in its back.
Oh, I thought you were going to say popcorn bucket. I'm like, you want to fuck the dog? That's what the popcorn buckets are for.
Though if you get the popcorn bucket of Lobo, he fucks you.
Oh, no!
Actually, you fragging bastard.
Hang on a second. If you get popcorn buckets, it's because you want to fuck them. Well, how does that explain the AT-AT one that I saw?
Dion, I've seen what you're into. I've seen your search history.
You said that was private.
Search my ass.
Yeah, fine. Okay, yes, next week we're doing two horror bits and then a Supergirl, amazing. And then that's almost June over. Oof.
Can you believe it? Holy shit. We're going to have to start doing our taxes shortly.
Ah.
Don't even say the T word.
We do not enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
Do we all enjoy the just quick? Do we all enjoy the Octagon fight, the UFC at the White House? And then also, did you enjoy Trump going, "Hey, maybe we'll leave it up"? And people are like, "What?"
I saw the atrocious Ring Girl costumes.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like,
they were committing, what do you call it when you incorrectly display the flag? Like,
yeah, flag aside.
Sure.
Yeah, let's go with that. I don't know. I did see the video of Trump falling asleep whilst the fight was on.
Oh, wonderful. Dollars like, well spent.
Yep. Cool. Great. You know.
I don't know. Some of the advertising really got to me. I felt really thirsty for a can of Monster, and then I invested all of my superannuation into cryptocurrency.
Cool.
That's how that went.
Yeah. We are living
what
in
kind of a hellscape are we living in right now?
I'm not sure. That's my name. Not sure.
Nothing. Nothing. A good cull of the top 0.1% of richest people in the world wouldn't.
Oh, you mean help just with. Elon Musk?
No. All of. Okay, top 0.05%. That'll get rid of a few thousand.
Right. Okay. So you bring at least 600 or 700 people down.
I don't know. I'm just gonna I want to throw some of my money into orcas. Like, just to how do we make more orcas, which seem to be doing the job we should all be doing, which is destroying billionaire boats.
I don't know. Just
I love that.
Can build more titans. More titan submergibles, please.
Yeah.
Get them. Yeah, actually, you should all go down and look at the bottom of the Marianas Trench.
Actually, we should do that. We should get everyone super behind this whole space race with SpaceX and Blue Origin and all that. I'm like, no, get on the rocket.
But get on the rocket. You want to make space travel a thing? Are you going to fucking pay for us all to go? Because
no,
fuck no.
I'd be happy. I'd just be happy for them to go. Bye. And then when they try to come back, we're like, sorry. Now we've moved on.
I think it's absolutely disgusting that anybody could be a trillionaire in this day and age.
Yeah,
you can't zero ethics.
Yeah. You can't be a trillionaire while there are starving people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you know that you could fix that immediately and you still would have hundreds and thousands of billions of dollars.
Yeah. You need to tank the stock market and then he won't be a trillionaire anymore.
Well, and this is the other thing, all of that money, that is mostly conceptual. It's
it's
you know,
not liquid.
No, it's just the idea that he has this much money. So I like the idea of just going, well, no, you don't. We don't agree. You don't have that much money. And in fact,
we only have worth because we assign value to it. So if we all decide that money is not worth anything and collapse our entire society and economy, then we all win.
Let's give it a go. I mean, it can't be any worse than what we've got now.
Yeah, let's go back to bartering.
You know what? Fuck it. Why not? Honestly, it's got to be a step up. I mean, then they won't make movies this fucking stupid and expensive.
Yeah, you won't have to bother with it. Okay. Well, thank you. You've convinced me. No, Jill Quinney, you have convinced me to not bother.
Yeah. Happy disclosure day.
Exactly. Your takeaway thing should be don't go and watch this in the cinema. Do not pay money for it. If you're desperate to go into the cinema to watch something, go and watch He-Man again.
Yeah, or Obsession
or Backrooms.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, Obsession and Backrooms, they've made massive bank. They've done really well on tiny, tiny budgets. So, you know, give them some love.
Yeah. Support
and
small
go and
creators.
Watch fucking anything else.
Yeah, anything else. Spielberg
go to the film festival.
He doesn't need the money. Spielberg's film festival. Spielberg doesn't need any more money. Yes, the film festival, Sydney Film Festival, has just wrapped up. Go to your local one if you've got one there. You know, watch a couple of other films. They're fine.
Adsky is going to help us out. He's going to let us know whether or not Toy Story 5 is worse than Disclosure Day or not. We will not be reviewing it because we didn't get tickets. And the screening is tonight.
Also, I can't be bothered. I don't need to see Toy Story 5. I think it was done after Toy Story 2.
Mm. Yeah. Look, I liked elements of Toy Story 3, but 4, I'm like, fuck, I don't know why we're here. And we sure as shit don't need to be here for 5.
Nope.
Yep. And also, you know, Toy Story came out 30 years ago?
Mm-hmm. The first one.
Yeah.
Oh, my 1995. God.
Ooh, 21. So the first Toy Story is old enough to drink.
Yeah.
Oh, mm. The other trailer that I did see the other day in front of He-Man, the full trailer for Moana. Yeah.
How's Dwayne The Rock Johnson's wig?
Slightly better than it was in the first trailer, but
seeing the hot take online that someone thinks he still looks bald even though he's got hair, like, it just sends me.
the thing that upset me probably the most was hearing Jermaine Clement doing the voice of Tamatoa, but sounding like it's exactly the same performance, only less interested.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, I mean, the one good take that they got of "You're welcome" the first time around, and then we have to hear him butcher it.
Yeah, I watched this whole trailer and I was like, wow, the animated version was infinitely more exciting and animated than The Rock.
And colourful. This one has all of the colour grading seeped out of it.
Yeah, so we probably won't be reviewing that one either. But
no, I don't want to see dark, gritty Moana. And I feel bad because, like, we have an Aussie girl in the lead.
Yeah.
And we really should be supporting, like, mm-hmm. Australians.
Yeah.
But, I mean, fuck that. Disney going to keep regurgitating the same garbage over and over again and, like, fire all of their employees because they train the AI on the artists? Like, go get fucked, eh?
Yeah, well, didn't The Rock come out recently being, like, you know, somewhat pro-AI, like being kind of like, oh, yeah, we're going to embrace that.
Wouldn't like, surprise me.
Fuck you, dude.
We don't have to Atari, embrace...
Yeah, no, we don't need live-action remakes.
Nope.
Well, we do not need it. I mean, like, the last one, the most successful one I've ever seen was How to Train Your Dragon, and I was like, yes, congratulations, you made the same film again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then we're getting the second one in like 6 months or something.
Yeah, but this is what they love. Control C, Control V.
Yeah.
Control C, Control V. You like this thing. Control C, Control V.
And idiots keep spending money to watch it again.
Yep. I'm getting a lot more enjoyment out of
me the same food that I already ate.
I wrote a short story many years ago called Read Me Peter Rabbit. It's that whole thing that, you know, you go into bed with your kid and they're like, do you want to read this new story? And they're like, no, I want to read Peter Rabbit. And you're like, you've heard Peter Rabbit every night for the past fucking how many years. Why don't we try this book? It's really good. Yeah, but I like Peter Rabbit. Mm. You know? Yes, give me something original. And
children
this is why.
Children don't have frontal cortexes, so.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. We'll forgive the kids. We know better.
Yes.
I like reading books. There are good books out there. And Jill is now so far down the rabbit hole.
Sorry, Dion. I'm
just
a
quick
update, Jill. Roller Carl train, just, everybody.
Just do a podcast on it. Just pick it as a podcast.
Okay. So
we don't have to do like...
Dion's leaving the chat right now, and the next half hour is going to be Dungeon Crawler Carl on TBTOA.
Well, this took a wild go, didn't it? You thought it was Disclosure Day. Nope, it's Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Damn straight. And I'm going to be here for the next 5 to 7 hours.
Yeah, yeah. And it's all fan theories.
Thank you, Predakanga, for enjoying that. There's a joke that I said only for the Dungeon Crawler Carl fans who have been past book 3.
Oh, fuck. What's my gonk equivalent?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Glurp.
Yeah, exactly. You can just say glurp and we will then go glurp, glurp and stop.
Fucking Jesus. All right, I'm stopping it now. We're going to say goodnight. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for the chat. Very animated chat. Thank you very much. And doing all that.
That's fantastic. See you all next week.
We'll see you next. Thank you, Queenie. Thank you, Jill, for telling me, for getting me to avoid all of this shit. And I can't wait to subtly convince Peter to watch it. Like, you shouldn't listen to them, Peter. You should go watch it in the cinema with your precious spare time.
And your money.
Oh, dear. All right, everyone. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Listen.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.